Seemed like yesterday everybody, with the weather and all, was out and about. I know in Bonshaw it was like quite busy. We have the smelt run going on, so there's quite a number of people out and about getting some smelt from the river just by our house, and then just enjoying the day. And so it's nice to sing those songs about spring, and that's certainly... was the case yesterday. We even had the trampoline put up yesterday, so we were full of like the joys of spring there. That was the first day with the trampoline, so that was good. And one of the benefits that we have now, one of the new benefits to where we live, thanks to Plan B, is that we now have a whole new trail system next to our house. We have now already 12 kilometers of new trails and paths by our house, which is lovely. We just walk straight out over the bridge and into the trail system. And there's still about 7 kilometers more to go that they'll be making this spring. And so just across the river, you cross the little bridge, and there's a map of all the trails there. So it's fun to see people come and stop in the little car park there and cross the bridge, and then see what they do, because they haven't. It's a new trail system, so most people haven't walked it before necessarily, and so they cross the river and they stop, they stand there and they take a look at the map, and they look at it for a while and then they discuss. You can see them discussing, asking each other which path are they going to take, and then finally they head off in one of the different directions. Either the nice smooth path that goes kind of along the river there, or they go up the steep steps on the left, up the kind of cliffy path there, or they go up the sort of the medium one, the kind of zigzags, the kind of crooked path up the side. And when they look on the map, each trail has three things. Each one has a name. And in fact, it was kind of fun because they put it out to the public to name some of the paths, and we put one of the name ideas down, and we got one of ours picked. So we named one of the paths on the Bonshaw Trail. It's the Crosby Homestead Trail, if you're interested, anyway. Because Mr. Crosby, who actually is a man from the little church in Bonshaw there, probably the oldest fellow in the church, he was born in the homestead, which is now gone. Which is on that trail, you can see where the house and barn were, but there's nothing left except the well. And the well is right next to the path. So if you do walk that trail, be careful, because you can fall straight down the well, okay? So there are dangers along the paths too. So each trail has a name, and each trail has a bit of a different character to it. Some are a bit more hilly than others. Some are pretty smooth. Some are up, some are down. They even have those little, like they do at the ski slopes, you know, the black diamond, the green dot and all that on each trail. I think more for the bikers than the hikers. I think that's what they're there for. And there's some paths that it says do not go down if you're riding a bike, because basically you'll probably go head over heels down the embankment there. So some are rough and some are smooth. They all have their characteristics. And then each trail has a destination at the end of it. You can probably see where I'm going with this as far as a message. why do you know that? It's because paths are one of those big metaphors in the Bible, aren't they? In fact, not just in the Bible, throughout history and literature. It's one of those universal metaphors of life that in any culture, at any time, it works, doesn't it, really? Because there have always been paths, and there always will be paths. And people recognize that they're this wonderful metaphor for life. And no matter where you are in the world, or when you are in history, people have trodden down paths to walk on. And people have followed these paths, and people have stopped at crossroads and looked and discussed and asked which way to go, and or asked their wives to ask which way to go, and chosen a path to take. So it's no surprise that it's one of those big metaphors and that we understand it very well, along with things like light and water. Now, some metaphors in the Bible need a bit of we need a bit of help culturally now to delve into it culturally. You know, when it says, I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, we have to know, are we talking about plumbing? What are we talking about? So you have to kind of get, you know, there's a lot of metaphors in the Bible which we have to kind of don't really mean culturally anything in our culture, but once you understand what it meant to them, then you get the point. But paths are really big. And we have a lot of sayings about paths. You beat a path to someone's door, you cross paths with someone, you lead someone down the garden path or up the garden path maybe. Off we go off the beaten path, we go on the war path, we find the path of least resistance. So find many, many idioms about paths. When you think of the metaphor of path, maybe, may I ask you, what do you think of? What comes to your mind when you think of paths? Okay, Robert Frost, The Road Not Taken. What's that? Sorry. Oh, okay. I'm sure you can think of lots of things that paths represent in terms of life and where we're headed and where we're going and what they mean, how, what they mean to you, journeys, choices that we have to make, which path to go on and all that kind of thing. But, I mean, our point tonight is probably not to understand the metaphor, because I think we all understand it pretty well, but just to think of, am I on the right path right now? And maybe if you're at a crossroads in your life, what path do you take? How do you know which one to take? And things like that. So even God himself uses this metaphor when speaking to his people. So I want to pick one main verse to kind of hang a few other verses on. Normally, I like to do take a passage and just go through it, but for a change, I thought I've been just doing more of a word study this week, and so I thought I'd share a few verses about paths. And so, can we start in Jeremiah chapter 6 and use this as our kind of our a verse that we can use as with some hooks that we can hang some other thoughts on as well. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. And I'm going to read it. I wrote it down in a few different translations. If you have the King James, you can see that. And you can compare it here with, I'll read the NIV version. I think together they make a pretty good, give you the full picture maybe of this verse. The NIV reads, this is what the Lord says. So God is speaking. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. I'll leave it there. And it's a great verse because you don't have to think about an outline for this verse, do you? It just gives you the outline, right? I'm not going to be fancy with it. Just stick with the outline that we have there in the verse. Stand, look, ask, and walk. So Jeremiah is speaking here. This verse has a context, and it's Jeremiah, the prophet, speaking the words of the Lord to Judah, who were at rock bottom spiritually, really in a bad shape spiritually. And God is, you know, there's a lot of judgment coming, and you read these verses, and it's full of what God is going to do and to judge them for their wickedness. And particularly the coming captivity, Babylonian captivity. But amid all these dire warnings, there's this verse of grace, this verse of opportunity, and this opportunity to change course. Just to give you an idea of how bad things had got in Judah there, if you go to the previous chapter, chapter 5, at the end, in verse 30 and 31, that's Jeremiah 5, 30 and 31, it says, "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land." When it says wonderful, that's changed into an always positive meaning, but it really means a horrible, terrible, shocking thing is committed in the land. "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof?" So Jeremiah brings the prophecy to them, and it says there's a lot of the priests are teaching lies, basically, and they kind of rule over people and take control into their own hands. And if we read further down, it talks about that they were committing abominations, they were committing immorality, and it says, the worst thing about it is this: my people love to have it so. It had become so normal that it was just the way of things. And so wickedness, even among those that were supposed to be religious leaders, was to the point where people, it was normalized completely. And so he uses this illustration, back to our verse in verse 16, of a man standing at a junction, crossroads, intersection, and maybe a pilgrim, a traveler, and he's deciding which way to take, and there's different options, and there are new ways, and there are old ways. There's the well-traveled new way, the big plan B going through there. And then there's the old ways and the narrow ways and so forth. And he sees many people traveling along this particular ways, but he knows he must find the old path to get back to the true way, the old path. And so he's asking people passing by where that old path is, and no one perhaps can tell him. I'm just kind of getting the feel here of this verse, and so maybe he's, you know, the older traveler, and somebody points him to the narrow trail, and that's the good way. So we have that kind of a picture going on here. And it's the way to peace and rest. So we have the commands: stop or stand, think, ask, and walk. So let's just say what each one of those very briefly. Now, when you go across the river in our place and look at the map right now, it says stop, because the trails are closed. The way is closed because it's spring and they're very mucky and it's been really icy and slippery, and so it says don't go that way. So people are looking at the sign and going, "Whoa!" They're disappointed. So you do have to stop, and we're called when we get to a crossroads to stop and don't just blunder on. So that's the first kind of little bit of advice that goes not just in this verse but through the scriptures, right? Ponder the path of your feet, says Proverbs 4:26, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder. Stop. Just stop sometimes and take some time to ponder. Even that's kind of a little point that we're at in our lives. We've been go, 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 go. And it's a time to stop and ponder. Which direction are we heading in? That's in our lives personally. Maybe you're at different crossroads. We have so many decisions to make. But ponder. Consider carefully and meditate, evaluate, and don't stay on a road which you know to be a wrong one. And it can be difficult to stop and change course, and I find it really difficult to stop. When we go out for a walk as a family, I hate stopping and turning around and going back the same way. I just have this thing about it. My dad was the same. We always have to make it a round trip, you know. This has caused my family consternation sometimes. We have been out in the dark till midnight just to find a way that we can get across over there so we can go back the other side of the river, things like that. And I don't like just stopping and going back again to find maybe the right way or an easier way. I hate it. I just want to keep going and going and not admitting that I'm wrong. And so, as in hiking, same with life, making a change is sometimes gives a sense of failure and what people think. Because in our lives, we like a nice, smooth narrative in our lives, don't we? We don't like to change course, even though it may be not the right course. And wait on the Lord is another way of saying that, right? Wait on the Lord. Be still in the presence of the Lord. Wait patiently for him to act, says Psalm 37:7. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. And the race goes on, the rat race goes on, and sometimes we want to keep pounding away and going with everybody else and making sure we're really not missing out on anything. But God says, don't worry about other people and what they're doing. Just be still. And it's okay that you don't know always what the next step is, but just sometimes stop. For Judah here, it was a case of they need to stop before it was too late. They were heading towards destruction. And Psalm 1:6 says, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And that's one reason why we came here tonight, right, we have a desire to kind of stop, be still. It's a lovely place to come together, to be still, and to consider the ways of the Lord together. That's what we do here, right? And that we might walk in his ways and not just follow the crowd. Plenty of people out there think we're nuts, wasting all these times, traveling to and from meetings and all this thing. And what a waste of time, sitting here listening to some guy drone on. But that's not why we're here. We're here to know the Lord and to together to wait on him and consider his ways. So there are different ways. And so think, meditate, and consider his ways. So the next thing is, it says stand and then see. Or look. So just like the people looking at the map there, they look around, they look at the paths. Do we want to go the steep one or the flat one? We look around. And we look at what the names of the trails are and see which one we want to follow. In Bonshaw, we have the Witch's Trail. We have the Crosby Homestead Trail, the Canopy Trail, and various other names. And just like that in the Bible, there are different trails that we can take with different names. I expect you can think of some of them. The way of righteousness. The way of purity. The way of truth. The way of peace. The path of justice. The path of the upright. The path of prudence. The path of your commandments. Then there's things like the way of the sluggard, the way of Cain, the way of evildoers, the way of Balaam. Jeremiah himself, as he goes through, he continues to use the metaphor, and God tells Jeremiah what to say. Like in Jeremiah 21, verse 8, it says, and unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. They had a simple choice. There, the way of life, the way of death. And so the clue of the destination and what you're going to find on that trail, just like in Bonshaw, just like in the Bible, you find the clue to the destination in the name. If you choose the path of purity, you know it leads to something good, a good place. So we not only look into the Word to get the names of the good paths to take, but we also look at the map. We look at the map and we see the names, but we also look at the paths around us and we see the conditions of the path. How does it look? What kind of path is it? And the Bible spells it out again as well. Like in Proverbs, it talks a lot about different kinds of paths. People who have left the straight paths and walk in dark ways, who delight in wrongdoing and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So we've got straight paths, crooked paths, slippery paths, so forth. And Jeremiah himself continues to use this metaphor. My people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their ways, in the ancient paths. They made them walk in byways on roads not built up. So they got off the path and started stumbling around. Therefore, their path will become slippery. They will be banished to darkness where they will fall. I will bring disaster on them in the year they are punished. Stumble, falling, slippery paths in the dark. The metaphors continue. But he also gives the message of hope in chapter 31:9. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back, coming back from captivity. I would lead them beside streams of water, as we sung in the 23rd Psalm, on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn. So, again, those two choices of paths. I wonder, what is the name? How would you label the name of the path that you are on today? What kind of path are you on? Or maybe what are the paths you are considering taking at the moment in terms of what would you call it? Think about that. So you're looking around at the different choices, and boy, there's a lot of choices. There's a lot of paths to take. And so sometimes you don't know. So what do? You ask, which is the next one. Stand in the ways and see and ask. Ask for the old paths. Ask where the good way is. So you're going to start listening to other people, what they say, or listening to someone or something. I still remember the phrase at school when we did cycling proficiency in the playground, learning to cycle. It was always stop, look, listen. That was what was the drummed into us with cycling. Stop, look, listen. Proverbs 23:19 says, listen, my son, be wise and set your heart on the right path. And really, when we talk about paths, it's all involved. Really, it's all about, we're dealing with the heart, right? Where the heart is and where it's headed. And that puts it in perspective there. Set your heart on the right path, and then your feet will follow, right? And it says, what do we ask for? Ask for the old paths. I'm really fed up with hearing at the moment this. The reason people give for choosing something, for making a decision, the government, for example. Well, it's 2016. Have you heard that recently a lot? As if that's a reason for any, as if that sort of silences the argument. It's 2016. What does that mean? It just means whoever disagrees with this, it's the old path. It's old. You're done. It's 2016. It's not relevant anymore. The majority thinks this, so it's the only path. And it's because what the majority wants today, that makes it must be moral. And that's the way it was then too, right? Everyone was going this way and it had become normal. And because everybody's doing it, the statistics say 90% of people do it, then it's okay, right? It was the same then, and it's the same today. It's what most people do. It's morality by statistics, right? And it seems like in Judah's day, even the religious leaders were okay with immorality and lying to people, and the rest of the people saw it as perfectly normal, and it justified their own actions as well. So what was normal became what was moral. Verse 15, the verse before, the one that we're looking at, says, are they ashamed of their detestable conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. That's Jeremiah 6:14. There's no shame anymore because everybody's doing it. It's okay. And so we're almost at Jeremiah, almost 1,000 years of the history of Israel up to this point. And they had forgotten the way of the Lord, and they needed to find the path, the right path. And they were so disorientated, they needed to ask for direction. And who do we ask? Very simple, right? What does the Bible say? We turn to the Lord, right, to ask, what does He want? Psalm 25:4, show me your ways, Lord, teach me your paths. Psalm 27:11, teach me your way, Lord, lead me in a straight path. James 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. And then, of course, the same, we have God's word, so it also applies in Psalm 119, of course, tells us so many times, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? We talked about, yeah, I want to take the path of purity. How can they stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Psalm 119:32. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. Psalm 119:35. Direct me in the path of your commandments, for there I'd find delight. And there's many, many verses about the path and relation to the word of God. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. So it's from the word. That's verse 104. And of course, the most famous one, Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so we look to God, we look to His word, and we look to elders. And I'm talking not just elders in the church, but elders in the broader sense of the word too. People who have already lived by the book and who have walked the right paths, who do know the way, who we can follow in the way. And we were just listening to a thing recently that just made you really, really realize, yes, that's true. We are, the idea of having elders in the true sense of the word, of people that nurture the young, and is such a rare thing. It seems to be more, being an elder now is to have a second childhood, to have as many toys as possible, and to go off, and to do travel, and to enjoy your remaining years for the world, out in the world, not rather than actually helping people make the right choices, younger people, not to make the same mistakes they did, but to follow the right path. And Proverbs, again, is that kind of a book that is like an elder to the younger, right? Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. Instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. That's the elder giving the advice to the young man who's asking, what am I supposed to do? It says, ask for the old way, ask for the good way. Now, old ways aren't necessarily always good. Job 22:28 says, will you keep to the ancient or old path which wicked men have trod? So just because it's an old path doesn't necessarily mean it's good. I mean, if you're on the good path and you've got off the old path, that's wicked, the bad path, you don't want to go back there, right? So it depends where you are. For Judah, of course, they were on the bad path, and the old path for them was the good path. But, and yet there is a truth to that as far as the consistency of the way, the right way, hasn't changed. It's always been the same. The walk has always been by faith. God has always asked man to come to him by faith. And through faith, we enter into rest. And that has not changed. It is an ancient path from the beginning, and it continues to this day. And it is the path that we take, the walk of faith and trust in God. And so we come to the last one, walk. And so there comes a time when, after deliberating, we have to get going. And wherever your heart is, there your feet will follow. And Proverbs 23:19 says, "Listen, my son, and be wise, and set your heart on the right path." I read that again there. So that, just go back into our verse. "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein." So we're into the walk. And Proverbs 2:20 says, "Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous." Whoever walks, Proverbs 10:9, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out." And Proverbs 8:20, "I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice." Again, what path do you think you're on in your life right now? So, there comes a time where we're walking on a path that we have chosen. And if it is the path, the good path, the old way, then we're told, "You will find rest for your souls." And we sung there the 23rd Psalm. "And he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." That's what we're talking about. It's almost 20 years that we were married, 20 years ago, and next month we were married in Listowel, Ontario, and we're going to go back there next month. It will be our 20th anniversary. We're going to go back to visit that church, the Listowel Bible Chapel. And on our wedding, I guess, program or whatever, the order of service, the verse that we had was Proverbs 4:18. "The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." And that's kind of really why I was looking at this word path, because I was thinking of going back there, and I was thinking, well, is that really true? Our path has gone to all kinds of places. We've been to Siberia and in England. We've had a fitness club, and then we've been in a PEI, and our path has been quite varied and interesting. And here we are today, and is it shining more and more? Until that perfect day, or the full light of day, are we progressing? Are we growing? Are our lives shining for the Lord? And is our pathway lit by God's Word and by His Spirit? So, just something that I've been thinking about. That's kind of why I was looking at this word path, and to think that, wow, we have grown in so many things. And there's that promise. It's a promise of future and present and growth and light as we walk in His way. So there's destruction or rest. And on the path of peace, there is rest. But we can't really leave the subject without thinking beyond just the Old Testament guidance and thoughts, but to close with the real source of rest and the real truth about paths and ways and all these decisions we have to make is really summed up in the phrase what Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So when we say, "I am the way," we think of it in terms of salvation. The way through him to approach our Heavenly Father is through Christ. He is the way of forgiveness. But it continues in our walk that we look to him as our way. So we follow and are, we're not just talking about some nice religious phrases here when we talk about advice for following and choosing, making decisions. We're really talking about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the closer that relationship is, the more rest we have in our souls, and it's about him. And he is not just on the way or following him along the way. He is the way. Let's just to think about that in terms of our decisions. What is we choose and make our choices. Our choices will, and our things that we choose to do will be very much in relation to how much we know him and our love for him. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We picked a little song that kind of goes along with this thought. Still, my soul be still. And just while we're getting the guitar ready, maybe if we can get that, and I'll just read Psalm 23, and you guys can come on up. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Still, my soul be still, and do not fear. The winds of change may rage tomorrow. God is at your side. No longer dread the fires of unexpected sorrow. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you. Still, my soul be still, do not be moved by lesser lights and fleeting shadows. Hold on to his ways with shield of faith against temptation's flaming arrows. Still, my soul be still, do not forsake the truth you learned in the beginning. Wait upon the Lord, and hope will rise as stars appear when day is dimming. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you. Shake. to rest.